Governor Walker discussed his plan to give the UW system more autonomy and cut its budget by $300 million in the next state budget on a Milwaukee radio talk show this week. He asserted that UW faculty could work more.
Maybe it's time for faculty and staff to start thinking about teaching more classes and doing more work. And this authority frees up the UW administration to make those sorts of requests, which I think are needed not only here, but across the country.
And that didn't sit too well with UW System President Ray Cross, who was on this program yesterday.
I'm frustrated over that. I think it's a shame that people don't understand what faculty really do.
We'll get our two guests this hour to weigh in on this issue and some other state budget plans during this edition of The Week in Review. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll also talk about any other state or national political story from this week that you want to talk about. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let me welcome our guests. We have with us John Sharpless, a professor of history at UW-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Joe Winicky, former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning. I am just amazed to see John up this early. You know,
I usually get up at noon and come in and have a coffee break right off the bat.
Well, but don't you about 9 o'clock roll out of bed and have your white wine and quiche?
I do watch the soap operas.
just wondering. Okay.
I thought maybe that John Sharpless might have a thought on Governor Walker saying that you should be working more. You should be working more, and now the UW system can make you work more.
I'm going to control my anger on this. I mean, I think there are faculty and staff all across the system right now that are hurt and angry. The notion that we're a bunch of deadbeats is just simply nonsense. The people of this state have to understand that we have a great university system, and I'm not speaking simply for Madison. I'm talking about the whole system. And if they're going to sacrifice that, their children will suffer. And making fun of faculty members because we don't show up is nonsense. There are a lot of stereotypes about politicians, and I won't go into them. Sorry, Joe.
No. I'm recovering. It's
you're
okay.
You're recovering.
Okay.
That's just nonsense. If you get the bottom line here, and you'd think that Republicans would understand it, you get what you pay for. And universities are more than faculty members. They're staff people. They're janitors. There's people who serve food in the dorms. They're law enforcement. If they want the campuses to have good teaching, safe classrooms, physical structures that are well-maintained, if they want their young people to have not simply an educational experience, but a safe one and a healthy one, they'll maintain the university system.
Well, Joe, as the recovering politician here, where does this perception come from? Why would Governor Walker even say that?
Every hero needs a villain, and Scott Walker, to be the hero to people that are hurting in this state, needs to create a villain. Now, same song, same dance that he did 4 years ago to public school teachers at the K-12 level. And by the way, he hurt the university community with those provisions. I mean, you took the same hits as everybody else, but the wrath of the Republicans on that was aimed at K-12 teachers. And to this day, I've never figured out why we made teachers the enemy. It makes no sense. But now we're going to play the same song, and now this time it's going to be faculty. And there are stereotypes, I think John would agree, out there that a lot of people in the university community are academia and they leave some sort of elite life. What they don't realize is that this is a really tough job that you put a lot of hours in, and they're not all in the classroom. That's where I think people misunderstand. And it's really sad. But it's the every hero needs a villain. It's part of the, the whole game he's been playing for 4 years, and it's part of the divide and conquer strategy. It's pit people against each other so that you look like the hero.
What do you think of that theory, John?
Well, I don't think I don't think it's good for the state. Again, let me stress that campuses are not simply faculty. They're staff, they're custodians, they're law enforcement, they're the men and women who prepare the food in the dorms.
Radio talk show hosts.
They're people in the athletic departments that are producing the teams we enjoy on the field. If you cut back the university, all of that will suffer, all of it. And the other thing that's going to happen under this is as soon as the university system controls tuition, they will be forced, because of enormous deficits, to raise tuition aggressively. So then you get a perverse system where your children will pay a lot to get an inferior education.
He's totally right about that.
And I'm glad you reminded me. I really should say, when we're talking about issues like this, that I am an employee of the University of Wisconsin Extension. Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of UW Extension and the Educational Communications Board. So, in essence, I am an employee of the University of Wisconsin system. Ray Cross on the show yesterday said that people need to understand what UW faculty do. And it's not just classroom teaching, though that's a big part of it, too. John, what do professors do when they're not in front of a classroom?
I arrive on campus about the time most people arrive at work. It's between 8:30 and 9 o'clock, and I stay to 5. Often I stay to 7 or 8 in the evening. If I'm not in a classroom, I'm in the library. I'm preparing lectures. I'm doing research. There's a whole host of committee meetings that are required. They drive me crazy. You sit there and chatter. But it's part of running a large institution, just like there are committee meetings at the state capitol to run our government. Advising students. Remember, if you're a teacher, you're also the person who has to make decisions about the troubled student, the student is having difficulty. Working with that student, getting them through, making sure they get the education they deserve, managing teaching assistants, running research projects. You work at a university. You work. And I think I speak for everybody across the system, whether they're at La Crosse or at Madison. You finish the day, and you often bring home in your briefcase additional stuff to work at home. You go home and you eat dinner, and after dinner, you're reading and grading papers. None of this seems like work to a guy like Walker, because he lives a different life. And I'm not going to make fun of what he does. I'm sure being a governor is a lot of work. He has to spend a lot of time in Iowa and South Carolina and North Carolina and courting other Republican bigwigs. That taxes the man horribly, and yet he's going to... I have a question. What do you think about this?
You're doing great.
Shouldn't he give back to the state the money he earns on the days that he's out of the state running for president?
It would be almost his entire salary.
If you just simply divided his salary by the number of days, and he has to give back to the state to help with the deficit, the money that's being spent on him when he's in Iowa or South Carolina. I think the listeners should know that when I ran for Congress, I took a leave of absence.
I didn't know that.
I took a leave of absence. I didn't get any salary or health care. I went $35,000 in debt to run for Congress. I think Scott should take a leave of absence and do this on his dime or the dime of the big corporate guys who pay his jet fare.
Let me ask you, Joe, to weigh in on whether President, I don't know why I say that, Governor Walker's presidential ambitions played a part in this proposal to grant the University of Wisconsin system more autonomy and cut its budget by $300 million.
Sure, it has something to do with it, although I still have a hard time figuring out how some person who's a hog farmer in the western part of Iowa gives two hoots about what happens to the professor at Stevens Point. I don't get the connection, but it's part of what's become wrong with the Republican Party that I at one time respected. I respected John Sharpless' view of what Republicans should be. I respected Eisenhower's view. I respected a lot of, you know, Barry Goldwater even.
How about Tommy Thompson?
Tommy Thompson. He was a big government Republican, but he was, you know, he had a different view of all of this. And I think one of the reasons Tommy did not get elected to the U.S. Senate against Tammy is it appeared to a lot of people that he changed in that election to become the conservative candidate instead of Tommy Thompson. That's just my opinion.
He loved this campus.
Yeah, he did. He graduated from it.
He loved this campus.
As I did.
And he loved the Wisconsin system, and he stood for the improvement of higher education.
Well, let me one other thing, too, that I think people... This is really sad because, you know, the Wisconsin idea, correct me if I'm wrong, John, but it was the borders of the university or the borders of the state.
That's right.
And most people misinterpret what the original intent was when the Witties and all the others, you know, created this concept back in the teens and 20s and 30s. You know, great Social Security, the key advisor came from UW-Madison. I mean, this was good stuff. We created in this state, the taxpayers of this state created a world-class university system, and thank God that Pat Lucy made it that system of 26 campuses, that other states, other countries would love to emulate. It's considered one of the top 10 or so public university systems in not just the country, the world. And we're going to throw it away because this guy seems to think that it makes for good political fodder? My God. Think about Madison, the flagship campus. It earns more money from grants and research than it gets from tuition. It's what I think, John, first or second in the country when it comes to research dollars of public universities.
We're in the top 10.
Yeah. I mean, there are the MITs and Harvards, and private universities are a little different. But in public universities, we're right there.
Do you think this is throwing it away, John? Does this proposal destroy the UW system?
I think what people have to understand is this. There's been a decade of cuts at higher education in this state. We're still reeling from our last big cut. 2 years ago, was it, Joe?
Four
years ago.
Yeah, then you got a tiny bit back 2 years ago.
In that time, the university was embarrassed by a substantial reserve that they held back for contingency planning, and they no longer have that reserve. The legislature was upset about it. So there's really nothing there. There's no fat left on the system. There just isn't after roughly a decade of curtailing expenditures. Most faculty on this campus haven't had a significant raise, and in some cases, any raise at all for 15 years. Maybe there's something that people out there should understand. I put a lot of my life and resources, my family resources, into getting a PhD. I've worked hard on this campus. I show up every day. I'm here. I work with the young people of this state to improve their lives. I do research that makes a difference in this state. I will retire with a salary that's less than a Madison bus driver. I want everybody in the state to understand that. I'll retire with a lot less than Scott Walker has at his retirement. So the notion that we're a bunch of fat cats who are getting rich off the taxpayer is a crock of cow poop.
I don't have to bleep that.
John, I looked at you and called you John, but radio, they don't know
that's
that.
That's okay.
This can be stopped. Now, I'm going to put my Democratic strategist hat on, and if I was chair of, say, the State Democratic Party, I'd be pushing such things. But we can defeat this, and here's how you do it. We have to create a concerted effort in those communities directly affected by this around the state with their state senators. And there are a whole bunch of Republican state senators in places like Whitewater. I noticed Steve Noss brought this up the other day. Sheila Harsdorf over in River Falls and Menominee, Green Bay, Oshkosh. There's all over the place, Parkside. There are a lot of people. Unfortunately, from Madison's perspective, they're all Democrats, so the Republicans won't care. But you put a serious, coordinated effort. You basically flood those senators' mailboxes, emails, phone calls, constituent outreach things, and you make sure that you're heard. You can defeat this. It only takes a couple votes to defeat it.
And I come back to the cuts are not simply about college professors' salaries. I keep repeating this. It's about the quality of life on these campuses. It's about the athletic programs. It's about the dormitories. It's about whether the streets of that campus are safe and well-lit and whether the law enforcement on that campus is effective and well-trained. It's about the health service and whether or not the students are going to get good health care while they're on that campus. It's not simply faculty salaries. Every university in this state is suffering in a variety of small ways. curtailment of janitorial services, transportation services, repairing the old wiring in that dorm that hasn't been, you know, refurbished for 30 years. I had an interesting experience. For a couple of summers, I taught at San Francisco State, and that was, if you might remember, this makes me pretty old, San Francisco State was the bad boy of the system. They were the ones that had the big riots and challenged Ronald Reagan.
But was the home of Bill Russell.
It was the home of Bill Russell.
Basketball player.
And they were punished for about 2 decades for being the bad boy campus. There was a systematic culling of their support. By the time I got there, the campus was simply shabby. It was sad. The faculty buildings were Quonset huts. There was plywood on the walls of the windows. You know, it was just a shabby place for students to go.
We need to take a short break, and we have full lines of listeners who want to weigh in on this issue in particular, the proposed cut of $300 million from the UW system budget and giving the UW system more autonomy, independence from state government. We'll talk more about what that means, and we will welcome your calls at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking today to John Sharpless, a professor of history at UW-Madison, and Joe Winicky, a former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We have full lines, so let's let some listeners weigh in on this issue. Jim in Milwaukee is with us first. Hi, Jim.
Hi, good morning. You know, it's hard to get to understand the whole picture. I mean, I'm seeing here in Milwaukee on the TV stations here, they're reporting that the state gives 20% of the overall tuition of overall budget for the UW system, and they're talking about not giving 13% of that 20%, not 13% of the overall budget. But I heard you just say it's a $300 million cut. So if 13% of the 20% they give is actually, you know, $300 million. Just what is the exact figure for the overall budget we're talking about?
We can maybe look that up. Does anybody have it offhand?
It should be. I mean,
it's several billion. It's several billion dollars. The level of state support in the last 30 years has gone from roughly 40%, and then it was maintained at 33% for a while. Now it's down to 20%. It will be going down to about 18%. I think our priorities are all screwed up. I think we should be funding more tax dollars into our public university and our K-12 system and our technical college system, for that matter, because it's what makes us a great state. But there's no dispute of that, of 20% of the entire. Now, this is a 26 university campus with, 180,000 students and a whole bunch of employees. This is not small potatoes. It rivals the size of state government in other areas outside of K-12. When you look at state operations, not the money we pass through to schools and cities, university is by far the biggest expenditure of state resources.
Yeah, so I don't know. Is Jim, are you saying that it's a drop in the bucket? Is that
No, I'm not saying it's a drop in the bucket, but I think it should be understood, and people should actually have the full numbers. And when we say that this is a premier system across the country, and yet one of your guests is saying all these things that are bad there, the janitorial services are cut and everything else, it's like, well, these other systems must be really bad.
Well, I will say that UW System President Ray Cross did say, when I asked him yesterday, will there be layoffs, he said, well, most of our budget is salary, personnel, and he couldn't see how layoffs wouldn't happen. But he said they were going to try to start with back room or administrative type layoffs would be the first strategy. John, you want to talk about?
Well, that I think that's true with any large corporation or any large governmental agency. Salaries are a significant component of the budget, and when you're asked to cut it, you have to look at salaries, and that's what will happen. What will happen is that some people, and again, I keep talking about staff because one of the things that makes a campus safe and comfortable and a good place to be are all these staff people who show up every day and make sure it all works. The lights work, the toilets are clean, the sidewalks are cleared, the police are walking the street to make it safe. That's what makes a campus a good place to be in addition to your education. All those things, you can nibble away at it. And in the years I've been at Wisconsin, I'll go way back through all the governors, I think there's been a slow deterioration of the quality of life on this campus and elsewhere in the state. It can be... There's all kinds of trivial things that end up getting... You can't have pencils anymore, or you have to buy your own notebooks and that kind of stuff. Well, we've been through all that. Yeah. We're all done with no more pencils. We're all done with no more notebooks. We're all done with you have to pay for your own trips. All that stuff has been cut away years ago. We're really down to people, and this is really important for people to understand, infrastructure. Now, you can postpone dealing with your infrastructure a year or two, but yeah. Eventually the ceilings leak.
Yeah. Well, to answer Jim's question, according to the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, state tax money makes up about 19% of the UW system's budget. Tuition, federal aid, grants, donations, and other payments bring the system's total annual funding to more than $6 billion.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
And another thing that people don't understand is that a lot of that money that comes from the outside requires matching funds by the institution. So you have to figure out ways from your current budget to meet the matching obligations from, say, a federal grant.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of funds are locked in to projects and can't be moved around because we have commitments that have to do with research projects that are ongoing. You can't simply look at the NASA or the National Science Foundation and says, we're not going to continue that grant because the governor says he doesn't like the campus.
Now, I wanted to ask Joe, I know John probably has an opinion on this too, but I have seen some, stories showing how many professors make more money than the governor, mainly, business and economic professors who do have salaries that are more than the governor's $144,000 a year salary.
And the real test is, do they make more than Barry Alvarez?
I don't know. I think they were in the half million dollar range.
We have professors in the med school and in the business school and a few economics professors who earn, and I might say over in the sciences who earn substantial salaries. There also tend to be people who bring in a lot of money.
That's the point. The people that are making the most money are bringing in much more than their salaries in research grants, federal monies, private sector research dollars. That's the only reason they're making that money. And, the irony of it all, like, I've had season tickets for basketball for 25 years. I'm a big Bo Ryan fan. Bo Ryan makes $2.5 million a year. If we want to talk about the governor's salary versus this, it's irrelevant. The point is, you get what you pay for. And right now, I don't think the governor's getting his... I think I could agree with John about if he's never going to be in the state anyway, maybe that $140,000 he's making is too much. But, the irony of all this, on the same day, Joy, that he proposed this $300 million cut, he proposed a $200 million bonding authority for the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, I'm not against the Bucks. I'm not against the state being a partner in helping keep the Bucks in Milwaukee. But think about this. And then have it paid for by the supposed growth in NBA player salaries to pay off the debt. By the way, this is the first and second time I've ever seen this in 30 years of politics, and they both related to the university. First, he proposed that the future money going to the university is going to be dedicated from the sales tax. And now the Bucks stadium is going to be dedicated from the income tax. Pretty soon there's going to be no money left for the rest of state government. And guess what? It's the poor that are going to pay the price in human service funding because they're going to get whacked.
That $220 million bonding issue the jock tax for the new Milwaukee Bucks arena was on the front page. I think the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, right next to the story that the University of Wisconsin system was facing a cut of $300 million. John, how does that make you feel?
I'm a Bucks fan. I love the Bucks. I don't want them to leave Milwaukee, but I really think that. For the university system to take a hit to pay for the Bucks, there's a great deal of irony in that. There's a lot of people in this state. I remember talking to Tommy Thompson one time, and I said, what was the most unpopular thing you ever did? And he said it was the Brewers Stadium.
Oh, it was.
He says, there was a stage after.
Stick it to him.
People calmed down, but there was a stage where he couldn't be within 200 miles of Milwaukee without having somebody grab him by the lapels and demand to know why in the hell he allowed that to happen.
John, I had over 2,000 phone calls and letters about the Brewers Stadium, 6-1 against it.
Yeah. This is the Week in Review. Our guests are Joe Winicky and John Sharpless, and our next caller is Cynthia in Menominee. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi. I am a retiree from the UW system, and I've got so much I would love to be able to talk about. But, you know, the universities are the ones that prepare our teachers. The university staff members, my last 9 years in the system, I worked in student support services and services for students with disabilities. We are the ones that helped first-generation low-income students. We are the ones that helped students with a disability, a learning disability. We helped them achieve their education so they can go out and get a job. And I'm not a faculty member. My son is a carpenter. He has not had a pay raise since 2008. Yet the legislators can vote themselves a pay raise and a per diem raise. And when these cuts come, where are the jobs for the people that are supporting our students? I'm a graduate student. Right now, there's no possibility of me returning to work to utilize my master's degree and my 35 years of experience in the system.
Thank you very much, Cynthia. We have so many calls. Let me also share a couple of other comments, and then we'll have Joe and John both react. Jeff in Lone Rock emails, a UW report shows student admissions have been stagnant for 30 years while the number of professors has increased by 50%. If the UW needs more money, increase admissions in Madison and other campuses. Many professors do not teach many classes. Well, I guess that deserves a response right away. Increase admissions in Madison and other campuses. That's the answer, John Sharpless?
I would like to see admissions go up. I think that all across the system. But you can't cut the budget and raise.
No, you can't.
You simply can't do it. The limits on the system, there was a time, and I'm sure Joe remembers this, where a lot of the state system was under-enrolled. That's not true anymore.
No, it's not.
There was a time when places like Superior and Green Bay had to go looking for students. That's not true. They're turning away students. I have enormous sympathy for somebody who says, John, you should teach 20, 30 classes a day. Come in and do it. If you think you can do it, do it.
I don't want to go to your class if you're teaching all those because you're not going to be prepared.
I'm never prepared anyway.
Well, I forgot.
I'm too busy
doing the quiche and the.
Eating the quiche and showing up late.
But you know, the person, I don't remember his name, from Lone Rock, is exactly the person Scott Walker is focusing on. Mm-hmm. Scott Walker is playing into concerns that individual already has. Now, for the caller from Menominee, I think her name was Cynthia. Mm-hmm. What they have to do is, it's great to call in here, but you also had better go call Sheila Harstorf, your state senator from UW mm-hmm. Stout, and make sure she knows your views, because I know she was at a meeting last night. I had a phone call from a person this morning who talked about it to me for some reason, and Sheila was defending the governor on these cuts, so maybe she needs to hear some.
You know, when we talked to UW system president Ray Cross yesterday, he was saying that the UW system was going to do as much as it could to fight these cuts, the $300 million in cuts. But he is a fan of the more autonomy. We haven't really talked a whole lot about that. John Sharpless, what do you think of the university no longer really being, I guess, an arm of state government?
So here is my position on that. I just don't trust politicians. I was a politician once that during that period of my life, I didn't trust myself. There's nothing to say that the legislature can't decide to change that in an afternoon.
Yep.
And take the whole thing back after they've savagely cut the system, say, well, we've changed our mind about autonomy. Sorry, guys. The notion that Walker can put a stamp on the next five legislatures is just nonsense. Scott may have some control over this particular legislature, but there's going to be turnover. There'll be more contests for the constituencies that support the legislature. They could easily change their mind in 5 years.
Yeah, what do you make of this being called Act 10 for the university?
I don't know what that means.
More autonomy, meaning that the administrators can do what they want with all staff, with not really, I guess, means getting rid of shared governance and that sort of thing.
Well, we have a long history of shared governance. I would be surprised, really surprised, if the regents decide to end that. I suppose they could. Many of my colleagues are concerned about that. A lot of people have to understand that one of the things that makes America work is checks and balances. And having faculty and students play a role in the governance of universities is a damn good idea, and it's based on a tradition of shared governance that we have at the national and at the state level. Having said that, it's important to understand that the actual budgets on each campus are predominantly determined by administrators and not by students or faculty.
There's some great fears that I have about using the term autonomy. I was glad that for the first time since he's been the head of the system administration that President Cross actually said something that challenged the governor, because the first time I've ever heard him do it. I suspect he would have had a rebellion on his hands if he had not. But to me, greater autonomy means two things. It means greatly increased tuition. Greatly increased tuition beginning in 2017. Three things. It means a turn towards a privatization of our public university system, something that the blood, sweat, toil, and tears of 150 years of Wisconsinites created and paid for. And finally, and this is a great fear that I haven't heard talked about, but it's a fear of mine. If you have complete autonomy, all of a sudden, we could become like our elections have become. I don't like to use the Koch brothers, but I will in this case. Charles and David Koch may want to endow a whole bunch of faculty positions to push out their agenda on the campus. Well, so much for sifting and winnowing, right?
I'd like to actually pick up on that. One of the things that could be fascinating on it, if you make the university solely dependent on federal money, mm-hmm. the Obama agenda could be driven forward on our campuses.
Hey, now you're on to something. No, the whole point is any of these things could happen. A conservative should have fear about that. A liberal should have fears about that, because you don't know where the money's going to come from, because what's going to happen at the end of the day? They're going to go wherever they can get the cash.
That's right. The university will be driven by this famous marketplace. So federal power combined with corporate power will determine the university agenda.
Well, we can have an oligarchy in our university. How great, John.
I just think if you want young people, middle-aged people, retired people to have access to higher education, you need to pay for it. It's that simple.
This is The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with John Sharpless, a professor of history at UW-Madison, and Joe Winicky, former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We'll continue taking your calls on this UW system story, and we'll talk about some other stories as well. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Mm-hmm. This is The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine with John Sharpless and Joe Winicky talking about the top issues in the news this week. And for the most part, we have been concentrating the entire program on the proposed cut of $300 million to the UW system and the autonomy issue. But we welcome your calls and questions about other issues in the news. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Patty in Madison is with us. Hello, Patty.
Hi, I've been enjoying the conversation. I've been learning things for the last half an hour with you guys, so I appreciate it. I just want to say this is something that I've noticed the whole time with Scott Walker, being a UWGB grad, and my father was a loyal, he was a UW-Madison grad, and he was an ALJ for the workers' comp. I feel like Scott Walker has a whole disconnect on the importance of what the UW system means to the people of the state of Wisconsin, how important it has been, what the Wisconsin idea is. I feel like when he says that he wants to raise his children in the Wisconsin that he was raised in, I'm thinking that he was raised a lot of the time in Colorado. He was born in Iowa. I mean, Tommy Thompson, Warren Knowles, all these great people had a service-driven idea about what the state of Wisconsin should be, what the Wisconsin idea was, why things like unemployment comp and workers' comp was so important to the men and women of this state. And I just feel like he's not working for us.
All right. Thank you very much, Patty. She's obviously got emotion with that. But
she makes some great points, and it goes beyond it, shifting gears from the university for a second. You know, her father did workman's comp, was an administrative law judge on workman's comp. What's Scott Walker planning on doing with that? Gutting workers' comp. That was just in the news. It'll be out on Tuesday. What does he propose? I mean, unemployment comp and workman's comp were created by Wisconsin. These were Wisconsin ideas.
Under a Republican governor.
Yeah. At the time, the Republicans were much more progressive, however. Yeah. But, and I give you that, it was. And now, what does he propose for unemployment compensation? Drug testing. What does that have to do with the contract you had with your employer that when you got laid off because you're a highway worker and you don't do construction in the winter, that somehow, if you had a doobie, that you can't get an unemployment check? I mean, what it is, it plays at the fears of people. Everything they do has been focus group tested, poll tested to help Scott Walker add to Scott Walker's resume, but it's hurting real people, and it's time for real people to see what he is.
But there's another thing on this. It's grandstanding. That's not going anywhere in the court, and you know it.
He's doing it.
Even among conservative jurists, you can't be drug testing for people unless you anticipate that there has to be a crime that's seen for that kind of testing.
John, do you think they won't pass that law?
Now, here's the interesting thing about it. And Democrats do this too. You pass these pieces of legislation that everybody knows aren't going to pass the test of the courts, and then the attorney general has to take staff time to defend that piece of legislation in the courts when the attorney general should be doing the job an attorney general should do, law enforcement in the state.
By the way, they have to defend a law they know they're going to lose.
They're stuck with it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's Doyle or J.B. Van Hollen. They're stuck with a law that they know no serious jurist is going to be supporting. Even conservative jurists will not support drug testing for people on unemployment comp. They just won't. I can tell you.
Makes a great headline, John.
But it's a waste of state money in a time where state money is really valuable.
But I'm not proposing it. Scott Walker is.
But it comes back to a larger notion about what people want from Wisconsin. I'm going to go on another rant. Is everybody out there ready for this?
Okay, what's the rant?
If you don't like good recreational systems, state parks that are clean and safe, if you don't like good highways, if you don't like a good educational system, if you don't like a state where children are kept in a healthy, supportive environment and health care is important, if you don't like that, move to Alabama. Get out of my state. I'm sick and tired of this nonsense. You get what you pay for. And we are diminishing the infrastructure of this state at a rate that's going to be embarrassing. We shouldn't be competing with Alabama and Mississippi. We should be competing with the very best in terms of health care, in terms of environment, in terms of transportation and law enforcement and education. That's what Wisconsin is. I can't understand. It is not a Republican tradition in this state to destroy infrastructure. I don't know what that's all about. This recent rhetoric shocks me. We're going to hand to our children a state in which there's garbage, in which nobody wants to be in the school system where it's unsafe. That's not a legacy we want to hand on to our children.
Oh, my goodness, John, that was beautiful. I mean, my whole point is, John, remember here, this is the so-called liberal and conservative or different points of view.
I'm a conservative.
John is a traditional conservative in the old school sense. I'm proud to call myself a liberal. I'm not ashamed of that.
My mom was.
Yep. And my point is, we both see what Scott Walker and these Republicans in the legislature are doing to our state, and somebody has to stand up and say enough is enough.
Let me, because we're running out of time, let me talk a little bit about Governor Walker forms his first committee for his 2016 run for president this week. And some polls have showed him actually in the top tier in Iowa. And I'm wondering why you think Joe Wienicke, he's, I guess, got a shot, if you think he does, at the presidency of the United States.
I think today he's got a shot at the Republican nomination. Do I think he could be elected president? No, I do not. The Republican Party, and I'm no expert on how they think. I guess I'd like to be. I don't want to be in that mind, by the way. But, has moved far, far right. So Scott Walker's moving farther right in this budget and in his public pronouncements, even farther than he was, which I thought would be pretty hard. But when you compare Scott Walker to the Rick Santorums and the Ben Carsons and the Mike Huckabees, who are way out here, he may look more conventional, because I don't believe, in spite of the conventional wisdom, that either Mitt Romney or Jeb Bush will be the Republican nominee.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think they are considered too normal. I'm serious about that. And so Scott Walker's trying to position himself in between the loony right and the mainstream middle of the Republican Party, and he will have a chance. I predict that he will have a balloon for the next several months, and then it will deflate over time,
He'll do a Dean.
Yeah. He'll do Howard Dean.
He'll be Howard Dean. There'll be a surge around him.
I think there's a lot of likelihood of that,
and then,
in my opinion.
And then it'll winnow away. Yeah. I think Walker is very dependent on how can I say this? He's a good candidate for the presidency, depending on who the Democrats put up, and I'm not confident it's going to be Hillary. Actually, I suspect that Hillary will not be the nominee. I won't be surprised at all if Hillary decides not to run. I think about Joe can speak to this, I can speak to this. Running for office takes a lot of work. It takes a lot out of you. It's extraordinarily exhausting. It's not for old people. And Hillary's about my age. I just think that she's going to ask some serious questions about whether she's willing to get banged around one more time on another crusade. I could see her saying, it's time for me to step back and not run for office one more time. I think that there are Democrats who very quickly would step forward. And so the question about Walker is not so much how he stands among Republicans, how he stands among potential Democratic candidates. The other problem he has, despite your being dismissive about Jeb Bush,
that's where
the money is. Yeah. If you think about the money Republicans, Wall Street, banking, the corporate community, they want a guy like Bush. They don't want a guy like Huckabee.
But the problem I see is, since Citizens United, something you and I disagree on, I believe, but since Citizens United, all of a sudden, even the Wall Street money can't compete with Sheldon Adelson. These guys, I mean, Charles and David Koch, I mention them again, I try not to, just committed $900 million into the 2016 race. That's even more money than Wall Street delivers, John.
But We can have a whole show on campaign finance reform.
We disagree.
And we will
the first
another time. Day.
Be,
will
and by the way, it would be the one thing we would disagree on yeah. on this show.
I think there's much to do about nothing on that. It's not showing that if you spend the money, you get what you want out of the system.
Okay. In other news this week, this is our Week in Review quiz. The University of Wisconsin-Madison posted a video to its YouTube channel regarding the spring commencement ceremony. Let's take a listen to that.
Good evening. The University of Wisconsin-Madison will hold its Class of 2015 spring commencement on May 16th at Camp Randall. Chancellor Rebecca Blank's office has now released the name of the keynote speaker, and it's me.
So, who's me? That's the Week in Review quiz question. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Call in and give us your answer. If you are correct, we will send you a not-so-fabulous prize. So who is going to be the keynote speaker at UW-Madison's spring commencement? 1-800-642-1234. And as we wait for a call to come in, very quickly, I'm putting you guys on the spot. Joe, what advice would you have for college graduates this year? Do you have a quick speech for us?
Well, I wish we had somebody who wasn't quite so nice there. I know who that is. I would have loved to have seen someone like Malala Yousafzai, who can show young people that one person can change the world, that get involved, be part of making the world better. And I'm not sure where this cute little thing comes from. I'd be a little more serious about it.
Well, let's take our first caller, Linda in Neillsville. Hello, Linda.
Good morning.
Who's going to be the keynote speaker at UW-Madison spring commencement?
Katie Couric.
You are correct, Linda. So here's let's take a listen to Couric in the video saying she is awfully excited to come to Madison.
I'm in New York right now, and I've clearly gotten into this Wisconsin spirit, even though I know cheeseheads are for Packers fans. I couldn't resist. How often can a news anchor sport one of these bad boys? But I know where my bread is buttered, and that's why I'm wearing a Badger shirt. Why do I suddenly feel like a grilled cheese sandwich?
All right, Couric closed by making the W sign with her fingers and proclaiming on Wisconsin. So, Linda, congratulations. We will put you on hold, get your contact information, and send you a pen or something like that. That's our Week in Review quiz prize. Well, we heard who Joe would have chosen instead as a speaker. Do you have someone you would recommend, John, or do you have a little snippet of advice for the college graduates this year?
I think college graduation speeches are boring. Everybody wants to get out of there. They want to go to the tailgate. They want to hang out with mom and dad. They want to be with their friends. I think that if anybody you bring in, they have to promise to give a short speech with a little humor. Don't pontificate. They don't want to listen to it. They just want to have fun and move on. I think the whole ritual is just goofy. I understand what the ceremony is about. You've been here for 4 years. You spent a lot of money. You want that to be recognized. It's not about the speaker. It's about the graduates.
John, I didn't go to my graduation ceremony, but I did get the diploma.
Well, I'm looking forward to the spring commencement because I'll be in Camp Randall watching Katie Couric, apparently, and also my very intelligent and talented and beautiful niece, Chelsea Plowman, who is going to be graduating in the spring. So I'm looking forward to that. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for the invitation.
John Sharpless, professor of history at UW-Madison, and Joe Winicky, former state senator and former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Caleb Lato for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you join us on Monday. We'll be talking with Wisconsin Public Radio Director Mike Crane about how WPR might be affected by Governor Walker's proposed budget. That's coming up on Monday. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.